Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Birth to Life radio show. Birth to Life is being featured by We Talk Productions, and I want to thank everyone that is listening this evening. For all of my hardworking teachers, my infant teachers, my young and older toddler teachers, my preschool teachers, my pre-K teachers, my inclusion teachers, everyone in Birth Through Five, administrators, consultants, licensing consultants even, welcome to Friday. It is Friday. We made it through another week. Yes, it's the beginning of the school year still. So how are my teachers out there surviving? I will be the first one to tell you, as I mentioned before, my last show, I am a full-time older toddler teacher. So, yes, I deal with two-year-olds all day long. I must say that I am a little exhausted this evening, but that is okay. I got a little bit of rest before I started our radio show, and I'm ready to get into it this evening. I wanted to go back and revisit some things from my last show. I wanted to discuss teacher self-care because this is really, really, really important. As you know that working in our field, it takes a lot of energy to deal with these early learners. And for the most part, if you work in a child development center like me, I do not work in a Head Start center for all my teachers that work in Head Start. From my understanding, some of you guys are off in the summer and you are done by 3 o'clock, some of you all. But I've never worked in the Head Start program. But however, my school is year-round, so we do not have a summer break. And I must say, I can tell from my body when I need a break. And one of the things that I am fortunate enough at my job is we have personal time where teachers earn personal time off every pay period. So thankfully, I will say next Friday, I will be taking a day off to take care of some things. And in times past, I have not always done that. But I will say, sometimes you just have to take a day. You just have to take a day. You have to recharge and rejuvenate yourselves because it's not easy taking care of young, early learners, like I mentioned before. So I wanted to go over a few things about self-care. I've been teaching for almost 15 years, and I must tell you, it is still a work in progress, even with me dealing with avoiding teacher burnout. But here's a few things that has helped me along the way, and I want to share a few of those things with you. So if you are in a classroom, and it's the beginning of the school year, and the children are still learning you, and they're still learning routines, and if you deal with any people other than yourself, you still might be getting to know your teacher that you're working with. But I want to say one of the things that have helped me, actually, is letting people know that I need help in a certain area. You know, as teachers, we are very gifted and talented people, and sometimes we need to reach out to other teachers, and that's part of building that self-care as well, because you never know that having another teacher there along the way that has been through the journey that you have been through before, or a teacher that kind of knows the ropes a little bit better at your current company or at your school, or a person that can just be a listening ear. Sometimes just being a listening ear can be very helpful for other teachers. I know, too, that being that we are talented and we are gifted and we are compassionate about our jobs and our mission to educate these children, they have, a lot of times, other teachers have very good strategies and very good ideas. So I would challenge every teacher out there to kind of get acquainted with another teacher, no matter how tough it seems. I know some I've worked at this point in my career. This is like my fifth child development center. So I have been in all different types of climates in a child care center. But if you notice that there is a positive teacher and a teacher that's willing to lend a helping hand, kind of partner with that teacher and establish a relationship with that teacher where you can kind of work side by side with each other, even if you don't see each other every day or you don't talk to each other every week. Just let them know, like, hey, you know, I'm kind of frustrated in this little area right here. Do you mind, you know, giving me some advice right here? I have to do that more often. And being in the field for almost 15 years, I kind of consider myself as a seasoned teacher. But however, at my current company where I work, there are other seasoned teachers there too that have been in the field. One particular teacher that I can think of that I have been asking for advice from, and she's just been giving me tips. She's been in the field for about 35 years. So she has many years of experience. And at the current company, she's been there for about almost 20. So I go to her a lot. And always make sure that the person that you're trying to seek mentorship from is a person that is considered a professional, because you don't want to necessarily get with a person that is going to tell your business in the child development center. You want to kind of check that person out and make sure that person is a professional teacher, a person that's seasoned, or somebody that you can work side by side with. Another thing that I've noticed is I was ordering lunch this week, and I noticed a teacher was walking in the parking lot. Self-care. She was like, you know what? Sometimes I just have to get out the building during my break, and I just have to walk and walk and walk and walk. And that was part of her self-care, too. One of my tips of self-care, something that I do, is I'm one of those people where I have to go into a quiet room sometimes, and I have to just settle myself and listen to music. That's part of my self-care. And it has to be dim. It has to be quiet. I make sure, for the most part, every single day that I have my cell phone and my headphones. And what I have been doing recently is searching YouTube, and I've been typing in white noise or nature sounds or different things like that. So I've been listening to that as I try to settle myself before I go back into the classroom from lunch, because once I get back in my classroom for lunch, even though the children are napping because I'm the first teacher to go for my lunch break, sometimes the children are still a little wiggly. They're still up. And even after I settle the children, I still have to complete my lesson plan. I still have to clean the learning centers. I still have to send out emails, check assessment, document assessment, oversee teachers, a number of things, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But one of the things I try to do on my break is really settle myself. I'm one of those teachers, I really don't take care of, like, business. I know some people like to go grocery shopping and go to doctor's appointments, but for the most part, like, if I do that, I take a half a day because it's too much of a rush for me. But those are some of the things I do for self-care. So if you're not at least doing those things, then consider doing those things for your upcoming week when you go for teaching back into the classroom on Monday. Another thing, too, is planning a healthy meal. I know meal prepping YouTube videos and meal prep. A lot of people are meal prepping now, but that's something I've tried to do, too, is meal prep. And especially right now, I've noticed that we have children that are already sick, runny noses and coughing. So I try to make some meals here and there to make sure that I'm eating healthy and I am getting a balanced meal and I'm getting plenty of water. one of the things I've been working on really is drinking plenty of water. So I try to make sure that I have my water in the classroom throughout the day so I can stay stay hydrated. Because even when I'm doing morning circle, I'm moving with the kids. Before I go into my morning circle teaching, I dance and we do some type of physical learning movement every single day. So I do that with them. So I have to make sure that I am hydrated and I have my water and I'm eating healthy meals, and I'm working on that more and more and more. But I'll tell you one thing, this week I had rice paper rolls. That was my very first time, and I put some noodles in there. I just did a very simple recipe: noodles, chopped carrots, chopped green pepper, and let's see, am I missing something? Oh, green onions. I put that in there, and then I just wrapped it, and I put it in my container, and I put packets of sauce in there for me to eat, and an avocado. That was a very satisfying, healthy lunch for me. So I'm glad that I had the opportunity to take the time to fix my lunch. And I'm still working on that, trying to prepare my lunch the night before I go in. So another thing that I want to talk about, too, is when to talk to your director about your co-teacher. You know, sometimes, as I mentioned before in our last show, that you have all different types of co-teachers. You have teachers that are new to the field. You have teachers that when they were at a certain school that they used a certain curriculum. You have teachers that have all different types of personalities. Like, it's a big spectrum of teachers. And sometimes in that working relationship, it can be a little challenging. One of the things that I do as a teacher is I really try to get to know the teachers that I'm working with, because I do have three assistants right now that I'm working with. So two of them are part-time and one of them are full-time. And what I notice is they have different personalities. They have different strengths. They have different weaknesses. And just like me, being a person working in the classroom, I have to get to know them. But I came across a dilemma where the working relationship wasn't really flowing quite well, and I'm really big about being positive in the classroom, coming, being prepared. But when I noticed that that we're losing momentum as a team, I try to put some things in place. So this might help some teachers out there. At my school, we use an email system. So I create charts of things that we need to accomplish. I'm big on that. I post them in the classroom. I have my name listed. I have everybody's name listed as to what time we need to be doing what, who's responsible for what responsibility. Because what I noticed is the last couple of years, I was quite burnt out. And I decided that some of that burnt out was me putting a lot of responsibility on myself and not delegating. Delegating is key. You have to delegate if you want to be successful in the classroom. So I mentioned this before. I created charts. I emailed. And when I send out emails, I try to be very thorough as possible. For example, if I say, we need to sanitize. Okay, we need to all sanitize at least one learning center, you know, on Friday. We need to collect this many notes by Friday. We need to do this. And I will put the title of everything. But what I noticed is that some of the teachers were still having a difficult time, and they were lacking passion, to be quite honest with you. If you are going to be in the field of education, you have to be your own advocate as a teacher. You have to have passion. Now, you will come across challenges. It can be very challenging, because last year I had a number of special needs kids in my classroom with different needs, and that was a challenge within itself. And then I had teachers that were kind of inexperienced and new to the field of high quality education. So that was challenging within itself. And it can be challenging and it can be grueling, but you have to put things in place to make it more functional for you and make it more effective. So what I decided to do when I started to see the losing of momentum and try to talk to my teachers, I actually went to my director and I asked her for some advice. I basically told her that, hey, you know, I'm writing classroom charts in the story. I've had meetings. I've done emails. I've done all these particular things, but I am still coming where I'm still feeling like there's a barrier right there. And what she suggested is me revisiting the conversation with the teachers and basically having a heart-to-heart. But sometimes you just have to, as a teacher, be firm. You have to use your firmness sometimes in certain situations. And so she was like, what you have to start doing is you have to start assigning certain tasks to people. And so that way there will be some accountability there. And then when we're walking around and when we're observing and we're assessing you all, then we can say, hey, you know, I'm looking at the lesson plan and Miss April had this activity plan right here during this time. What are you guys working on? So as a teacher, I just basically mentioned that to them. And I told them as well, because my directors hold me accountable. You know, I had my curriculum specialist come in one morning just at the drop of a hat, and she just started observing me. She observed me teaching for about 20 to 25 minutes, and I told them that it's not personal sometimes when they're observing. They just want to see how the classroom is functioning and how everything is going because, again, the parents are paying us to do a job there. And they want to make sure that their children are getting high-quality education, especially if parents are paying a hefty price for their child's education. So, you know, I just basically had to go to my director and say, hey, I've had all of these steps in place. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I noticed that some of the teachers are being very lackadaisical and they losing their motivation. How can I get them to build their motivation up? How can I inspire them? And what I start doing, too, is I was doing it before, but kind of just encouraging them more. Like, hey, you did a really good job in your small group. Hey, you know, I saw that you was looking up an activity to do in the afternoons. That is really great. And what I noticed is it went well. It went well. I've noticed that I've even heard less complaints. The children seem more engaged. When I'm coming in the morning time, I see these projects laying around. I'm ready to hang them up. And as a teacher, it's important for me, especially me being a lead teacher, and I've been an assistant teacher too, where I have to model everything that I would like to see in my classroom. If I want positivity in the classroom, I have to model that. If I want my teachers to be prepared, I have to be prepared. If I want them to be enthusiastic about the job, I need to bring that enthusiasm as well. And sometimes you will work harder than others, but you are teaching them along the way. And when I realized that a breakthrough did happen, during this week is when one of the teachers was like, you take what you do so seriously, like you do everything that you're expected to do. You don't slack at all. You're in the moment. You're excited. She was like, you take this so seriously. And I said, yes, because I'm educating these children and that's why I'm here. Like if I was not passionate about what I'm doing, I wouldn't do it. It's just simple as that. If I wasn't passionate about being a teacher and then I felt like it was time for retirement, then I will be retiring. But right now, it's my goal and it's my mission to educate these children. And there are days when I have good days. There are days when I have fantastic days. And there are days where I feel like I could have wings like and plant it on my back and just fly instead of like drive or walk or whatever, but I am there to educate those children. and I am there to not only educate the children, but also inspire the parents, inspire the teachers that I'm working with as well. So hopefully that gives you some tips. But if you're still running into some barriers, number one, document. Okay? Model first, guide, coach and correct, and document. And then really try to find some common ground with your teacher, no matter who they are. Try to find some common ground. And sometimes, you know what? After all of that, life, personal challenges come in the way. Sometimes that teacher have life personal challenges. Sometimes the field is just not meant for them. And sometimes they will discover that working in the field. But you do the best that you can. And hopefully those tips will help you along the way. Okay. Another thing that I wanted to talk about is classroom decorations. I know I said I was going to mention that a little bit before, but I wanted to talk about classroom decorations and decorating your room. So we will be going into a new study, our classroom. We'll be studying trees, and our sub theme is going to be apples. So that will be coming up soon. We're going to transition out of this study. We've been studying signs, learning about road signs. We took a field trip around the school and look at the different signs and discuss the different signs. And the cool thing is that we have all different types of signs at our school because we even have pet parking, and the children got to see that, and all different types of things. So we will be learning about trees and be learning about apples as well. But I wanted to touch on a few things about classroom decorations. Okay, so every teacher, there are some teachers that are very creative. There are some teachers that, you know, they don't feel as creative. And there are some teachers that like things very organized, no clutter. And there are some teachers that like to have an abundance of things in the classroom. Here's a few things I want you to consider when you're doing classroom decorations and arranging your rooms and putting things up. Look at how you're putting your things up, okay? So if you're in birth through five, you should have artwork and things visible at the child's eye level, at their eye level. So when you walk in your classroom Monday morning, what I want you to do is scan your room. Scan your room. You can have some things up, but for the most part, if your children are learning, things need to be eye level. Eye level, eye level, eye level. Eye level is key, okay? So what I decided to do this year is I did have artwork up, but I would use tape and different things and stuff. But I used some wire this year, and I did clotheslines all around my classroom. I have a clothesline in the library area. I have a clothesline near the door. I have about 5 to 6 clotheslines in the classroom. I even have a few clotheslines across the windows because the wonderful thing is my classroom has a lot of natural light, but sometimes it's not always great because in my morning circle area, I have a lot of natural light that comes through and it blinds the kids a little bit. But however, me putting the clothesline up and hanging their artwork from there has helped a great deal. So try to keep your artwork at eye level, okay? Remember, you need to have current art level up. You need to have things that according to their themes, things that they're using with watercolors, different types of art, 3D art hanging up. All these different kinds. So right now we have displays of watercolors. We have displays of the easel painting. They have some collage art up that they created. Today, the children painted with fall spices. So I just got some spices from the kitchen. I got some ground ginger and some cinnamon and some cumin and some ground mustard and apple pie spices, and I put them in muffin tins, added water, let them get the paint brushes and get the papers, and they painted with spices this morning. They did that this morning. So they have that hanging up as well. But make sure that your charts, a lot of the artwork, put it at eye level for the children, because that will be very helpful for them to learn and to discover and see a print-rich environment, to see ongoing art projects going and different things like that. And remember, it doesn't have to be pattern artwork. What is pattern artwork? Pattern artwork is where children, their art looks the same. You know, those perfect little cutouts, and everybody's gluing the eyes in the same direction, and everybody is putting the hands in the same direction, but they had nothing to do with that creativity. Mm-mm. Let them explore. Put out more collage materials. Put out, be creative as possible. Let them paint, do paint with spices and different things like that, but eye level. Eye level. That's going to be your keyword tonight, eye level. Make sure that your artwork is at eye level, okay? Now, before we go, I wanted to talk a little bit. I wanted to bring out a resource. Now, if you are a NACI accredited center, and I don't know if all directors have discussed this with you, is NACI has a degree finder link on their website. I didn't know this for the longest, but they do. And if you are a NACI accredited center or you have NACI accreditation, don't you know that your hours, if you went for an associate's or any type of program, that your training hours and your CDA hours or your some people have a diploma, associates, all of those hours count towards your degree. That's why it's very important to work in like a NACI accredited center where they have high standards. I love working in a NACI accredited center. And maybe I'll do a show about working in a NACI accredited center versus working in a privately owned center, because I've had that experience as well. Trust me. Out of my 15 years, I have many, many experiences. So, yes, you can go to the NACI website, and you can go to degreefinder.naci.org, I believe, and it lists all of these colleges. So if you want to, if you're looking for an associate, you can look on there. If you're looking for a bachelor's, master's, PhD program, you can look on there. If you want to look for a specific program in your state, you can filter that and look on there. If you want to look for an online program, you can look on there through the degreefinder.naci.org, okay? And what I'm going to be doing is highlighting some colleges for you all, for all of my teachers that would like to go back to school. So, St. Joseph's College in Brooklyn, New York, has a BA child study program. And for all of my inclusion teachers or my teachers that want to work in the birth through five field with children with special needs and disabilities like I do, right now they also have a master's in infant and toddler's disabilities program. Okay, so I'll mention that again. St. Joseph's College in Brooklyn, New York, you can get a BA in child studies, or you can get a master's degree in infant and toddler disabilities program that they have there. Okay, so check them out, and I hope all of this information was beneficial for you. That remember that you are gifted, you are talented, you are inspiring lives, you are impactful no matter how hard it gets. And trust me, I know how hard it gets. Thank you again for tuning in to Birth to Life from We Talk Productions. Have a good evening.